This is Biotechnica, and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica.
Life might be full of problems, but viewing them as opportunities is the key to great inventions and discoveries. This never-dying spirit of human has made it the most equipped organism. Now that may be true or may not be. It is too early to say so, because man has just begun the journey of unraveling the secrets of nature, and there are many miles to go. You must be wondering, what exactly are we discussing today? Let me guess. Something related to some discovery? Yes, absolutely. Today's podcast is about a latest finding on a disease, Parkinson's, and a long-forgotten organ, appendix. It sounds confusing, right? How brain is related to intestine? So to know, you have to listen to today's podcast on Removing Appendix Can Remove Parkinson's, Is It? Presented by Biotechnica team member Sunita. Parkinson's, when we hear the term, we relate it to old age with specific symptom of shaking. Actually, this disease was known from ancient times. One can find its description in old Ayurvedic scriptures as Kampavata and in Western medicine as shaking palsy. Likewise, in other parts of the world, this disease was well recognized. Interestingly, the name was coined after Dr. James Parkinson, who published a detailed essay on the disease, titled An Essay on the Shaking Palsy. This essay attracted the attention of many other experts towards the disease and established it as a recognized medical condition. Many physicians and researchers worked extensively on Parkinson's, giving insight from cause to effect as well as the possible remedies. Some of the names which needed to be mentioned here for their valuable contribution are of Jean-Martin Charcot, William Gowers, Friedrich Louis, Brissot, Greenfield and Bosanquet, P. Holtz and Berkmeyer. Because of these people and many others, today we know so much about the disease and are still continuing to explore the same. Now let us try to understand the disease. What can cause it? What could be the impact? Parkinson's disease is a brain disorder that manifests with old age. Most people first develop the disease at about age of 60. Approximately 5 to 10% of people with Parkinson's have early onset, which begins before the age of 50. It is estimated that 1 in every 500 are affected by Parkinson's. The disease can be affecting both men and women, but it is found to be predominant in males, with 50% more chance of occurrence in men than women. Now, there are many symptoms associated with Parkinson's, which gradually develop. At early stage, it's mild, and with time, it gets worse. The kind of symptom, its order of appearance and severity can differ from person to person. The three characteristic symptoms of the disease are, first, tremor, that is shaking of limbs. Second, bradykinesia, that is slow physical movement. And third, rigidity, that is stiffness in muscles that leads to difficulty in walking and facial expression. Apart from those three major symptoms, other physical and mental symptoms can also be observed in many patients. Physical symptoms include problem in balance and coordination, loss of sense of smell, blurred vision, dizziness, dysphagia, difficulty in chewing, insomnia, nerve pain, urinary problems, and constipation. Some patients may also have mental and behavioral changes, depression and anxiety, dementia, mild cognitive impairment, mainly difficulty in planning and organization, etc. Mainly looking at the symptoms, it can be concluded that Parkinson's disease is a multi-system disorder having both motor and non-motor features, which involves the central and peripheral nervous system. This is suggestive of impaired function of neurons or death of neurons in substantia nigra, the part of the brain that controls movement. This part of brain, mainly the neurons present there, produce a very important chemical signal or neurotransmitter, dopamine. The function of dopamine is to act as chemical messenger for brain and nervous system, which coordinates and controls body movement. When these dopamine producing neurons die or get damaged, the production of dopamine reduces. That means chemical signals are limiting. As a result, part of brain and nervous system which regulates movement does not work normally, resulting in impaired, slow and abnormal movement. Additionally, patients also lose the nerve endings that produce norepinephrine. It is a chemical messenger of sympathetic nervous system which controls many automatic functions of the body, such as heart rate and blood pressure. The loss of norepinephrine might help explain some of the non-motor features of Parkinson's, such as fatigue, irregular blood pressure, decreased movement of food through the digestive tract, and sudden drop in blood pressure when a person stands up from a sitting or a lying down position. There is a progressive loss of movement, as often the symptoms begin on one side of the body or even in one limb on one side of the body. As the disease progresses, it eventually affects both sides. However, the symptoms may still be more severe on one side than the other. The process of loss of these neurons is slow, and usually the symptoms start to appear when almost 80% of the neurons in substantia nigra is lost. That's why it is difficult to have cure for the condition. Only palliative cure can be provided to the patients, mainly in form of medication, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, dietary advice, and surgery in form of deep brain stimulation. Maybe to develop a complete cure, we need more research and analysis. But one thing which we are sure is why these neurons are dying. It is because of Lewy bodies, which are unusual clumps of the intraneuronal proteinaceous structures. The protein mainly detected in the Lewy body is alpha-synuclein, which is present in these bodies in an aggregated form. Other proteins are also found to be associated with Lewy bodies, like leucine-rich repeat kinase 2, histone deacetylase 6, and charged multivesicular body protein 2B. Alpha-synuclein can regulate biosynthesis of dopamine, vesicle trafficking and its exocytosis, mainly production and release of neurotransmitter from presynaptic nerve terminal. Thus, aggregation of this protein can have an impact on those processes. Normally, alpha-synuclein remains in form of tetramer with helical conformation under physiological conditions, like when associated with vesicles. In this form, it has reduced tendency to form aggregates. When they dissociate from this tetrameric form to monomers, alpha-synuclein is present in intrinsically disordered protein, or IDP, a protein with no well-organized secondary structure. These intrinsically disordered structures can adopt an anti-parallel beta sheet form which can organize into pathogenic fibrillar structures. A nucleation-dependent process starts with exposure of non-amyloid beta component domain in ITP, which can lead to aggregation of monomers to form oligomers, polarized protofibrils, and finally fibrils. Post-translational modifications such as phosphorylation, ubiquitination, nitration, truncation, etc. can aid in aggregation of alpha-synuclein. Such aggregates have more affinity to bind to membranes, promoting permeability and disruption of cellular homeostasis. Moreover, there can also be a localization at nerve terminal, which might inhibit neurotransmitter release by reducing density of synaptic vesicles. Even alteration in vesicle reclustering after endocytosis can have similar impact. Many endo and exogenous factors are found to modulate pathogenic aggregation of alpha-synuclein. Mutations in specific genes like UCH1, SCNA can promote the condition. Similarly, exposure to certain chemicals, metals, neurotoxin like MPTP, insecticides like retinone result in same effect. Thus, it would be wrong to conclude that Parkinson's results from a combination of genetic and environmental factors. The progression of disease can be classified into different stages based on the location of Lewy bodies in different parts of the brain. The first appearance is in dorsal motor nucleus of vagus and anterior olfactory nodes, from where they can spread to midbrain, forebrain, hippocampus, primary sensory areas, motor fields, and premotor neurocortex. Lewy body formation spreads in a prion-like fashion from one neuron to another. Several research works focusing on this aspect has improved our understanding about the aggregation of proteins. Yet, there is an absence of any comprehensive model behind Lewy body formation. A group of researchers working with Vivian Lebrey of Center for Neurodegenerative Science at Van Andel Research Institute, USA, looked for clues regarding Parkinson's, not in brain but in gastrointestinal tract or GI tract. This idea came from regular observation that GI dysfunction is a common non-motor symptom of Parkinson's, which can surface almost 20 years before the motor symptoms. Moreover, one of the first places where alpha-synuclein clumps are detected is the terminal where the gut nerves connect to the brain. Even presence of alpha-synuclein aggregates have been detected in GI tract. The possible reason behind it is exposure to toxins and bacteria, which can activate the immune responses. This enhanced immune surveillance increases the chance of developing protein aggregates. Working on this, Lebrey and co-workers decided to focus on appendix, a small organ attached at the end of the large intestine. Often considered to be a vestigial organ, appendix is rich in immune cells, which assist the lymphatic system in the detection and removal of pathogens, and helps to regulate intestinal bacterial composition. So probably, this has the highest probability of developing alpha-synuclein in the intestine. In their study, the team included two data sets: the nationwide Swedish National Patient Registry, SNPR, and the Parkinson's Progression Marker Initiative, PPMI. SNPR covered the diagnosis of entire population, almost over 91 million person years, while PPMI contained details of demographic and genetic factors. Data analysis of SNPR revealed that appendectomy can lower the risk of Parkinson's by roughly 20% both in rural and urban population. Moreover, both the data sets showed appendectomy done decades, almost 30 years prior to Parkinson's disease, delayed the onset age of disease by years. But once the individuals had developed Parkinson's disease, there was no difference in the severity of the symptoms irrespective of whether appendectomy was done or not. Even the procedure did not have much effect on individuals with genetic predisposition for the disease. Further examination of appendices of healthy individuals showed presence of abundant aggregates of alpha-synuclein in the mucosa and entering plexus of healthy appendix in all age groups. They can also be found to have truncated N and C terminal alpha-synuclein, which has propensity to aggregate and create Lewy bodies. This clearly indicates that just having alpha-synuclein aggregates in appendix does not mean that every individual will suffer from Parkinson's. So having alpha-synuclein aggregate in appendix may be normal, but some additional factors might lead to the spreading of this to the brain. Although the results of research are fascinating, but it is too early to comment on its significance in terms of using appendectomy as a preventive measure to Parkinson's disease. But it sheds light on the possibility that Parkinson's might have an outside brain origin. So further investigation on this brain and gut relationship is needed for deeper understanding of the disease. Even more emphasis should be given to the non-motor symptoms and their detection so that better and early diagnosis as well as treatment could be provided to the patients. With these concluding words, I'm ending today's discussion. Hope to come back with more such interesting topics. Till then, goodbye.